Okay, so I guess I'm the only one speaking. I'm Vertaline, and welcome to part two of the Answering Bedside Requests call. And this part is going to be about chording a melody or adding some left hand to your right hand melody if you're on harp. I'm going to be doing kind of a similar format to what we did for part one, where I'll talk and demonstrate a bit, and then I'll ask Dee to take everyone off mute, and for those of you who would like to ask questions or get some further clarification or make comments or anything. So I'll try and do that probably two or three times through the call, just to make sure that everyone can get questions answered. So there was also a handout, and I hope everybody had gone online and printed out the part two handout for the bedside requests, because you could follow along. If you didn't, then make sure that you do, at least after the call is over, make sure you go and get those handouts, because I think they'll be really helpful. So to start with, the reason this is part two is because we started with finding a melody by using the major scale as a template, and that was in the previous call 2 weeks ago. And if you did not attend that call, that's okay, because we're not going to have to be referring back to that. If you did attend that call, you're probably sitting there saying, okay, so I can play a melody, now what? How do I make it more than just a melody? So that's what this part is about. So whether or not you are finding a melody by ear, or whether you might have maybe come across a melody just written out, but no arrangement, no left hand, and you're not sure, well, how do you actually put chords and harmonize that melody? What we're going to do is start with the simplest way to add left hand, and then kind of increase as we go through the hour. So first of all, the simplest way to add a left hand is to simply play every so often the same note that your right hand is playing, but an octave lower. And you can let the note ring. Sometimes if you let it ring long enough, it feels like it's a chord. And you could play the note and stop the string from vibrating and just add an octave below the melody note every so often. That would be a simple way to do it, so that you are filling in a little bit more than just one range of notes. So an example would be, let's say that you're playing Mary Had a Little Lamb. So you've got, here's Mary Had a Little Lamb. So without knowing what the chords are, by the way, I need to just back up and tell you that we're going to do everything in the key of C major. So if you've got harps, put your levers to the key of C. And the scale, of course, is just C, D, E, F, G, A, B, and C. So when I play Mary Had a Little Lamb, it's also Merrily We Roll Along, so if you know it by that title. You can just simply say, well, I'm starting with an E note, so I'm going to play an E an octave lower. And now I've got a D note coming up. And then I'm going back to the E. And so that creates a little bit of harmony. It's not necessarily filling out the chord, but it's giving you something that your left hand can do. And this is, you know, if your patient is asking you for a song and you figure out how to get the melody happening and you want to play it again, but you don't want to just play the melody, you want to add something. And that would be a real simple way to kind of add a nice sparse harmony. You can also choose a note that's either a third up or a third below, and whether that's just right in the same octave or whether you drop it an octave. So if the melody note, again, is the C, or I mean, is the E for Merrily We Roll Along, you could choose to harmonize it with either the C note or the G note, because that's the third, C is a third below, G is a third above. And you can just try it and see what it sounds like. So here's with the C below, and I'm dropping an octave. And that works for quite a long time. And here's the G. And either one of those sounds pretty good. Now, that doesn't always work, because sometimes the note that is the melody note needs a note that's not a third below or above, but a fourth instead. So if you start and you, let's take another song, because really that one is, it's starting on a note that either third above or third below works. If you are starting with Twinkle Twinkle, and you say, okay, I'm starting with a C note, so I'm going to play a third below. That doesn't sound like what you're used to hearing for Twinkle Twinkle. You could start with a third above, and of course dropping an octave, and that works just fine. And the reason for that is because we're choosing notes that, we're trying to choose notes that would be in the chord that would be the most familiar. If a person knows Twinkle Twinkle, they're not going to expect an A to harmonize with the first note. Although if you wanted to make a real interesting spooky arrangement, you could always use the A. But to make just a basic bare bones arrangement that sounds familiar, you could try the A, and then the second time around you can say that A didn't work, so the second time around change it to a fourth below instead. The third doesn't work, the fourth will. So then that's just taking a single note in your left hand, and that's something I think that's something you can explore on your own. I don't think, you know, unless you have any questions about it, I want to move into this next section before we open it up for questions. And this is getting further than just a single note accompaniment, but adding full chords. And I call this bare bones chording. And the idea is that if it's a song that's in a major key, you should be able to get away with playing the three major chords that are in the key. And so you probably all know, if you've all been taking the level one course at least, that the three major chords in the key of C would be the C chord, that's based on the first degree of the scale, the F chord, which is based on the fourth degree, and the G chord, which is based on the fifth degree. Those are the three major chords. And then the major scale itself has C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. And the cool thing is that every note in the scale corresponds with either one or two chords. So we'll take a look at it. If you're looking at your handout, you'll see a little diagram kind of in the middle of that first page, and it says chord, and then it has a list of the three chords, C, F, and G, and then what the notes are in the chord. So if your melody note is a C, you'll notice that, of course, it's in the C chord, but it's also in the F chord. So the melody note C can be easily harmonized with a C chord or an F chord. If the melody note is a D, you'll notice you have to drop down to the G chord before you find a D that's in the chord. So the D would go with the G chord. So here's the C. It goes with the C chord or with the F chord. The D note goes with the G chord. And then the E note is only in the C chord. The F chord is only in the F chord. The F note is only in the F chord. The G note is in both the C chord and the G chord. A is only in F. The B is only in G. And that brings us back to double. So, two of the notes, C and G, are in both, in two different chords, are in both the C chord and in one of the other two chords. So, for the D and the E and the A and the B and the F, you really only have one chord according to the triads, if you look at the three-note chords. But the C and the G are found in two different major chords. The F, you could say it's only found in the F chord, but the F can also be considered the 7 of the G chord. So a G chord has G, B, and D, and that's 1, 3, and 5. And if you add the 7, the F is the 7. And in a lot of folk songs, and especially in the children's songs, you'll be discovering as we go into the next section, the G works better with the F melody note. It's just where you want it to be. So there are only three notes that are question mark chords. The others, D, E, A, and B, are pretty much what you, you know, what the only choice. Like D is only going to be in the G chord, E is only going to be in the C chord, A is in the F chord, B is in the G chord. So how do you choose which chord is going to go into, I mean, which chord is going to fit the melody? And here's where chord function will come into play. Chords in a key aren't, a C chord isn't a C chord, it isn't functioning the same way if you're in the key of G or in the key of F. It's going to have a different flavor. When you're in the key of C, the C chord feels like home. So you can start and you can end there, and anytime you feel like you need to return to home base, you go to the C chord. And then the major chord, the other two major chords have function that's different than home. F, it feels like someplace else. And it's comfortable. It's a nice, comfortable place to go and hang out there for a little while. And then when you go to the 5 chord, when you hear that in context with the C chord, the G chord makes you feel like you better go home again. It has this urgency. And there was this ukulele presenter at the NAMM show a year and a half ago that I went to, and he used the same idea, and he used the terms home, just like I do, and he used the term sunshine for the 4 chord, which is, in this case, in the key of C, would be the F chord. And he used the term tension for the 5 chord, which is the G in the key of C. And so he would have everybody, and he passed out ukuleles to all these people, some who've never even touched a ukulele, and taught them, he taught everyone the same 3 chords. And he says, now, how do you know which chord to do? He goes, well, you have to feel like you're going to either go home, or you're going to hang out in the sunshine place, or you're on this tense chord that makes you feel like you have to go home again. And it was really kind of fun, and it was amazing how easy it was for everybody to tell. He would say, okay, where are we going? What do we need to do? And everyone goes, home, and you know, and they were right. So you will find that your instinct about this is probably better than what you would have expected. So before we talk about that, I want to make sure that everybody is clear on so far what we're talking about. And if you have any questions, so Dee, can we go off? Well, you know what? If there's no questions, I'm going to hope that that's just because you are following and there's no questions. Continuing on about chord function. Are you back on mute? Okay, so you're putting people back on mute as opposed to someone asking a question at last minute. So now with the idea that the 1 chord or the C chord is home, the 4 chord or F is a nice place to kind of hang out. Sometimes you can think of it as just, feels good. It's sunshine. We can kind of hang out here. And the 5 chord is the feeling of needing to return home again. Then that helps us to choose which of those 3 chords to use on the melody notes that are in more than 1 chord. So next page, it says, here's how it works. If the melody note is C, either the C chord or the F chord will work. But if it feels like home, you would want to use the C chord. If it doesn't feel like home, if it doesn't feel like you could end there, then more likely it's going to be the F chord. So let's see. Let's do, let me just give an example of Twinkle Twinkle because we were using that. So on Twinkle Twinkle, we have the starting note of C, and I don't think that anybody would agree that the starting chord should be F. It feels like it needs to start at home, so. And then when we get down to here, we feel like, where do we go? We go home again, as opposed to, it feels like it needs to end there. So the home is much, much easier to identify than to try and decide whether is it going to be sunshine. You know, think of it, is it going to go home? Because the C works in both a home chord and in the sunshine chord or the somewhere else chord. If the melody is D, as we said before, you're going to be using your G chord. If the melody is E, you'll be using your C chord. Now, with the melody F, it's not going to be home. F doesn't go with C at all. But it's going to either be the sunshine, where it feels like, oh, no big deal, or you're going to create a lot of tension, and that feels like it needs to go home. So Twinkle Twinkle is, again, another example where you go, now when you get to the next note, that was C and then G, now we have an A note, so we have an F chord. And then the G note is going to be in either the C chord or the G chord. Either works, but you're not going to expect it to go there. That it would be an arrangement, but I know that most people are going to be used to hearing F chord back to the C chord. So there, the G melody note works best for going home again. But now we go on to an F note. That section there. So this F, does it feel like we're going to hang there? Not so much. It feels more like we're going to be heading home. And we go to an E note next, so you go home. And then we have the D note, which is good for the G chord, and back to your home. So with this F, yes, you could do the F, but also you could do the G. Neither G nor F is, I mean, that's not like a hard and fast, it has to be the G chord. Both of them will work, but occasionally you might find yourself playing an F melody note and thinking, of course, it's the F chord, and you think, and then when you play it, your ear says, it's not really where I want to be. And so again, you just remember that the other option is to use the G chord there. Okay? And then we already mentioned with Twinkle Twinkle that when you have the G, that G that comes there, yes, it could be the G chord, but that feels like it should have gone home. So thinking in terms of, am I going to go home or am I going to be creating some tension, or am I going to be in a place where I can hang out but it doesn't feel like home? So this is what chord function is about. And you know more about this than instinctively than you might think. If you were to start listening to music on the radio or listening to your recordings of music that you have at home, and just start thinking about, does this feel like I'm at home, or does it feel like I'm in a place of, uh-oh, I better get home? And, of course, we're talking just the three major chords right now because we're talking about the bare bones. We'll be moving on to talking about the minor chords as well. But for now, what I want to do is have you guys take a few minutes to think about what your bare bones chords might be for, let's say, Old MacDonald, Nearer My God to Thee, if you know hymns, and maybe other of the folk songs or the children's songs. I pick those out just because they're the most familiar to most people. Merrily We Roll Along, you could use that one as well. And so you might kind of just play and look at what your right hand is doing. If you're playing a particular string, you can say, well, what note is that? Which chord contains that string? And sticking with just the bare bones major chords that are there. So take just about maybe a minute and a half to do that on your own. And then if D, you could maybe go ahead and take them off mute so that if there are questions, a person could then unmute themselves and ask questions. That would be great.
Berlin, this is Christina in Hi. Longmont.
Hi.
I always go ahead about 15 steps, so I'll just go ahead and do that. I want to play some what I call old folks tunes.
Mm-hmm.
So tunes from, the 30s and 40s that would be more familiar to old folks.
Right.
I wondered if you could walk us through something a little more complicated than Old MacDonald.
Sure.
And or may, am I jumping too far ahead, because that might include the minor stuff?
It does. It does include the minor stuff, and we will actually, there's a number of things that are in the in that genre. A lot of the tunes, though, just as a warning, a lot of the tunes from the 30s goes so far out of the key that if you are on a lever harp, you might not feel all that satisfied with what you'd be able to come up with for chording. It might require lots of lever shifting, and but there's a lot that you can do. Did you attend the Playing the Melody one, the conference call 2 weeks ago?
I did. And yeah. I'm really in particular interested in a very difficult piece. Well,
oh.
What's it called? Stardust.
And
I figure, I might be fooling myself, but
yeah,
what I'd like to do is use my voice, which I can do.
Yeah.
Yes. To hit most of those notes, and then just, you know, pluck a chord here and there.
Right. Yeah, and one of the challenging things, again, with a lot of jazz is that the chord, even the chord structure just steps right out of the key. And I've had that song requested a number of times, and then I'll, you know, hum the first phrase and try and pluck the notes on the harp, and again, just that whole... fun of, well, I tried it and it just doesn't work on a harp, and you know, it's the being able to relate to the fact that they chose a difficult song, they stumped the harpist, and you know, that could sometimes be part of the connection of you know, they know a song that's so difficult you can't even play it on the harp, and then just, and always I say, wow, that's such a great tune. I wish I could play that on the harp, and you know, showing why it goes outside of the key, and you know, and it's yeah. Something that you know, you may not actually be able to do an arrangement of that one, but there's no reason you couldn't sing it a cappella, and you may not be
right,
able
exactly.
to get you know, I mean, right away you go let's see, that's kind of a high key. So if I was in da 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 da. Da da da. That next chord is going to be a diminished chord, and not a diminished chord that's in the key. It's you, so having to get trying to. I mean, you could just leave it at that. Da 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 da. I can't even think of the melody on that one.
Da 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 da.
Yes, there you go. So you could know the melody really well. You just go ahead and sing it, and you know, again, if they, but wait, I want to hear it on the harp. You know, then it's time for a little. You know what's interesting about the harp is that it can only play one scale. We have to use levers. So yeah. So
I guess you could always put octaves or something like that, but it's just.
Yeah.
Not as interesting.
Yeah. And again, you can. I mean, I've done songs like that where I just play half the chords that are there, as opposed to trying to make all the chord changes. And if you can just give yourself a starting note, starting chord, and not fill out the chords from then on. That, you know, that would be sufficient. And, you know, people are not waiting for you to play this extravagant arrangement of a tune. They just want to, they just love that melody. And a melody really makes them feel like floating on stardust. And, you know, so
yeah.
That's what you're going for, is creating the feeling that they're after when they make that kind of a request.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I guess we should go ahead and go off mute and move forward. Because as Ruth was pointing out, or Christina, that was Christina, pointed out, these are simple songs, and the bare bones chording works well with simple songs. And as you get further into modern music, then you're gonna run into needing some other chords. And there's one little extra paragraph that's on the second page about sometimes when the melody note most of the time, the melody note that's on the downbeat, you feel the stronger beat, that's usually going to be one of the notes in the chord, but sometimes it is not. And so I gave two examples here on O Christmas Tree. Actually, I think it's in the second part that we're... No, it is this first part that I was thinking of. So if you start, the C is the melody note here, and yes, the C chord works with that. And the E note, yes, the C chord works with that. And then the G chord works with the D. And then you've got a D note, and you could stay on the G chord and then switch to the C chord, or you can just go right to the C chord on the downbeat. So it would be D chord. And so there's no reason why you couldn't play a C chord with the D melody note there. You want to think about where you're going, where you're going to land. And it would also be just as nice to stay on the G chord and then resolve to the C chord when you get to the C note, C melody note. And the lullaby, Brahms lullaby, and now here we have an A, and we could play the F chord, which is what you should play for the A, and then you need to go to a G chord, but you could also just go right to the G chord. So, and see, the melody note is not in the G chord, but you're going right to a note that's in the G chord. So those are some things that you might notice as you're going along that, well, it's a D note, but I don't know that I really want to play a G chord there, or it's an A, I don't really want to play an F chord. So if the next note coming is going to be in the chord that that you think you need to go to in terms of the chord function, then then non-chord notes will work, in other words. So now the next page is on fleshing out the bare bones, and this is where we start talking about how the minor chords fit in. So you could get by with the three major chords for major key songs, but especially more modern songs are going to kind of call out for some of the minor chords as well. So the minor chords are in the key of C, D minor, A minor, and E minor. And again, they each have three notes, meaning that when you have a melody note, it doesn't have to be just one of those three major chords. It could also be one of these three minor chords. So if it's a C, not only could it be in a C major and an F major, but a C melody note also is in an A minor chord. If it's a D melody note, it's not only in the G chord, it's also in the D minor chord. For the E note, you can find an E in a C major chord, but you can also find it in both A minor and E minor. For the F, we had already put it as, of course, it goes in the F chord, and it can be part of the G7 chord, but it can also be in the D minor. So, and so forth and so on. I don't know if I need to spell out every single last one there, but just go through your major scale and look at this chart of minor chords and see which minor chords you could also use. Another thing you can do if you don't want to have to look at pieces of paper to find what the chords are is just put your fingers on the strings. And everyone go ahead and do this with me. Put your right hand on a C, and notice that if you play a chord from the C up, just going every other note, play, of course, that chord an octave lower, it's going to be a C chord. So that goes with the C. But you can also put the C in the middle of the chord. And so if you drop down two notes from the C, you've got an A. That's your A minor chord. And, of course, that works. And then, of course, the F chord works as well, because the C would be the fifth of that. So you can do it very tactily rather than having to be really thinking theory and trying to mark things down on a piece of paper. You can just look at your fingers and say, here's a C, what can I do with it? Well, the same rule of saying a third below or a third above will give you your A minor chord if you put both of them around the C. And a third below, and then going another third below gives you your F chord. A third above and another third above gives you your C chord. So you can just put your finger on the string and then grab that string an octave lower plus either a third above, third below, or two-thirds above or two-thirds below, and you've got a chord that would work with it. The one thing you want to be aware of is that diminished chords don't always sound right. And in some jazz chords, or jazz tunes, you're going to find some diminished chords, but usually it's not the diminished chord that's on the seventh degree of the scale. It's usually a passing chord that is helping you modulate into another another tonal center. So when you're in the key of C, generally avoid playing your B diminished chord. It just doesn't usually support what you're trying to do. So you can kind of just leave that one out of the mix, and then you can go a third above or below, or two-thirds above and two-thirds below to find chords that work. So now the function of the minor chords is similar to the function of the major chords. There's some little bit of difference. So, and it's not just that the relative minor chords to each of the major chords is exactly the same as the major chord function. So one, of course, is home, four is a different place, and five is somewhere else, but I want to go home. Now, when you look at a two chord, it's also a feeling of somewhere else and on your way somewhere. So there's a feeling of momentum, of moving somewhere. It's the relative minor of the four chord, but it's not quite as settled as the four chord. The three chord has an unsettled feeling, so unsettled in a similar way that the five chord is, but it's not as urgent, it doesn't tell you to go home. So if you play a C chord and then you play an E minor, it feels like this new place, but it doesn't tell you you have to go home again. It feels more like you want to go on somewhere else. So here's the E minor, and you could go to the F chord, or if you go from C to E minor, go to a D minor, or if you're on a C, you go to the E minor, you can go to the A minor. So all of those, the E minor feels like it needs to move, but it's not urgently forcing you to go home like the five chord is. And the five chord, of course, doesn't always go home. There are chord progressions where you do five and then you go to four, but it often feels like it's asking you to go home. The sixth chord feels like a home away from home. So there it is, the relative minor of the major chord, the one chord, and it does feel like it could be home. And a lot of times when you have, especially with folk songs, you might have an A section that's in a major key and then the B section in a minor key. So, or vice versa, like Greensleeve starts with the minor key, and then the B part is in the major, relative major key. So they're somewhat interchangeable, but most music that you're gonna be playing by ear is not gonna land on the sixth chord. That would be more something you might do if you're trying to make an interesting arrangement of something. So, and then again, the seven chord is the diminished, and that's someplace very strange, and you can just basically omit that one. So now, here's a couple songs. These are more in the 60s, so not quite as far back as what Christina was asking about. Heart and Soul, You Send Me, Today, Dream, and several others will use the same chord progression that everybody learned on the piano if you took piano lessons. You didn't learn it from your piano teacher. You learned it from the other students after the recital. And everyone sat around playing duets together on the piano, and it went like. So that's Heart and Soul, of course. And it could be 1 and 6 and 2 and 5, or it could be 1 and 6 and 4 and 5. And because that pattern was used for so many songs, when you go into that era, you may find that you can actually use that chord pattern on a number of different songs. And so, you know, you can kind of default to that and see what happens. And you'd be surprised at how many songs work with that same chord progression. Let's see. Going on, though, here's where the accidentals come in. And this is it will deal a little bit with what we were talking about. For Stardust, of course, goes completely out of the key almost immediately. But there are a lot of songs that will borrow a chord from a neighboring key. So if you're in the key of C, the nearest key moving upward through the circle of fifths will be the key of G, and that has an F sharp in it. So there's a lot of songs that have the C chord, and then instead of the D minor, it's actually a D major, and then G, and then back to the C. So you'd have to raise your F sharp in order to play that D major chord. But the cool thing you can do on a harp is if it is that where it's going to a major 2 or even to a major 3 or a major 6, you can omit the third and add in the 7 instead, so that if you wanted to have more than just two notes, so instead of just C chord being full and then the D chord having just D's and A's, which sounds very empty and kind of stark, you throw in the C note, which is the seventh degree of the D chord, and it fills it out, and it implies that F sharp. Now, the reason it implies the F sharp is because seven is added to the chord that's on the fifth degree of the scale. It's just a very common sound. If it's a five chord of a neighboring key, adding the seven, I'll play the D7 chord, really makes you want to hear the G chord come next. So if we omit the F sharp and you just play the A, or the D, the A, and the C, it still feels like it needs to go to the G chord. So rather than trying to flip levers, because you'll have to flip the F up and then back down when you go to your F chord, you can just omit the F sharp and add in a 7 whenever the chord feels like it ought to be major. Just, you know, play 1, 5, and 7. So this is a list of songs: Love Me Tender, Tennessee Waltz, Hallelujah, which is the Leonard Cohen, but it's also in Shrek. It's a great tune to play because children know it from the Shrek movie, and people my age know it from Leonard Cohen, and people know it from Katie Lang, who recorded it. So it's a nice universal song. And it has even though the words that Leonard Cohen wrote are not necessarily positive and uplifting words, it's actually a very sad song. When you get to the chorus, people start going hallelujah and singing along, and they feel like it's like this happy, positive song. And the chorus, that's all the words. It's hallelujah, hallelujah. Hotel California also has some of those borrowed dominant 7 chords that you can just omit the 3 and add in the 7. So let me put everybody back off mute again and see if there are questions coming up for any of these, or if you want demonstration further or clarification.
This is Christina again. Can you hear me?
Hi, Christina. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm always big on demonstrations.
Okay.
So any of the aforementioned songs,
okay,
if you could go through them chord by chord and say, this is what I'm doing, and that would help.
Okay. Shall I do that now, Dee, or do you want to do, because I don't want to have to do the on-off with the mutes, but I could just go ahead and take one of the tunes and talk through it, and then still open it for other questions.
That's fine, and if I hear any playing besides your own, I will just put everybody on mute.
Okay, that sounds good. And if everyone wouldn't mind just leaving their phones on mute while we do this. That would be good. Okay, so let me do, shall we do Hallelujah, since I was bringing that one up? So I'll play it in C. And so, of course, again, the melody starts E, G, and then it goes to A. So it starts with the C chord. Both the E and the G note are in the C chord. And then the A is in an F chord, but in this case, we're using the A minor. And then the C chord again. And now we've got an A in the melody, but the chord is the F, because it feels like it needs to go that sunshine place. And then here's a place where the melody starts on an A, but it's driving toward the G. So I'm playing a G chord to repeat that. And we're back to your C chord with the G in the melody. And then a turnaround chord with the G. And now we're back to your C chord. Melody's going E, G. And now the A chord, A note has an F chord. And the B has a G chord. And the C note has an A minor chord. And then we're going to switch to the F chord. The melody still is C. And then the melody comes up to the D. And then we go to a D note in the melody, so a G chord. And now we're going to get an E note in the melody, but instead of a C chord, we want the E dominant 7 chord. So I'm playing an E, and I'm adding the B and the D, so that we have the sound as if it would be a G sharp in the chord, but I'm not playing a G at all. If I did this, that doesn't quite sound like where it's supposed to go. It needs to be the G7. So leaving out the G sharp, of the E7, I mean, leaving out the G sharp, and then we're going to land on a C melody note, starting with the D. And so because we're landing on a C melody note, I'm going to go to an A minor chord. And now we're going to an F chord. The melody note is an A here. And then the melody note is an E chord, E note, excuse me, going back to an A minor chord. And back to your F chord with the melody note on A. And now we're going to a C chord, because now it feels like we need to go home. And a little detour to the C chord. And where melody note is C, and of course the chord is C. Okay, so that demonstrates the not only just the applying the where we're going using some minor chords and also using that E dominant 7 chord, which is the 5 chord of the key of A minor or A major, and that's where we end up. So, and that's why I went to the A minor chord there, even though the C could have been a C chord, or it could have been the C melody could have had a C chord or an F chord, but the A minor chord is implied by the fact that there's an E7 preceding it. The E7 is the 5 of A minor, so that's why it goes there. So those are rules that are most of the time going to get you where you need to go. So that was, if you want more demonstration, I can do more, or if someone else has a question that you want to ask clarification on, that would.
Thanks for the demo. That was great.
Okay, this is Danita in Washington. If you play a major and it doesn't sound right, is that your clue to go to a minor, or how are you moving through that?
Yeah, exactly. So, for instance, when you play an E note, and then you go, well, E, the only major chord it's in is C, but that sure doesn't sound right. Well, then you have actually two other minor chords that you can choose from. And so the way I would choose whether it's going to be the A minor chord that I put to that or the E minor chord has to do with that sense of where am I going. The A minor chord feels more like it's kind of a home away from home. So, for instance, when you're doing the chorus on this one, here's an F chord with an A melody, and then it's going to an E melody note, and no, that major C does not sound right there. It sounds like it needs to go to a minor chord. So what if I try going to the E minor? Well, E minor is going to feel really unsettled. So here's the F melody on A, and here's E minor. That's sort of, that feels like I need to go somewhere, but it wasn't very settled. But now if I go and start with the same phrase again with the F chord, and here's the A minor, which feels like, I could actually end the song right there. So it's a home away from home. It feels very stable and very, it doesn't feel like it has to hurry up and get off that chord. So that's part of what you do. Yes, you choose either the one and only minor chord if there's only one option, or you can choose between minor chords if there are two options. And then, of course, using chord function. And, you know, it's right now you guys have a list on a piece of paper, and you might experiment. This is something, you know, you don't just all of a sudden now you go out and you can do all your requests just right off the bat, but experiment with this by just thinking of a tune that you can find the melody, and then start thinking about, well, where does it feel like I need to be? Do I need to be at home, or do I need to be in the sunshine place, or do I need to create tension and aim for home? And when the major chords don't work, then you look at the minor chords. And pretty soon, I mean, I have the sense of I know there's a minor chord coming here, and I know it should feel this way. So I would go to, more often, I go to a minor chord that supports what I'm trying to do. And, you know, guess what? If I play the wrong minor chord and it's not where I wanted to go, well, the second verse, I play a different one. And, you know, it's not like, again, it's not a... it's not something that is going to be life and death. When your patient hears the wrong chord, it's not going to affect them in a negative way. It's going to just be a different sound, and a lot of people are not going to know the difference between whether it's correct or not. And the main thing is that if you play a note in the melody that is like a half a step away from a chord tone, it sometimes can be real clashing. So that's why this whole system of looking for which chord contains the melody is your safest way to play, and usually is the most accurate in terms of if it's a song that is in real kind of public knowledge. Hallelujah may be one of those songs that if you try to dress it up by playing different chords, people will look at you funny because they hear it all the time, whereas a song that is more obscure, they might not notice whether you play the right chords or not. So, does that help? I don't know if that was a...
Absolutely. Thank you.
This is Linda Friedel.
Hi.
I just want to thank you for clarifying this and demonstrating that. And thank you for that question that came up, that request that came up, to actually demonstrate what you were doing and talk through it. Because yeah. I was looking at the sheet music while you were doing that, and that was really helpful.
Oh, good.
Thanks.
So were you looking at sheet music that actually has the notes written out in the chords?
No chording.
So a homework assignment might be to... play through the chord progression I was mentioning on the previous page, where it's a 1-6-2-5, or you could substitute the 4 instead of the 2, 1-6-4-5, and think of melodies that go with it, and you'll be surprised. You'll start coming up with all kinds of things, and you know, so you'll go, your heart and soul, I fell in love with you, and you. sent me darling you. And today, while the blossoms still cling to the vine, and on the dream, 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 and so on and so forth. And just notice that there's a sense of this pattern where you're at home, and then you're going to a home away from home, and then you're going to a chord that is moving you towards something but isn't urgent, so whether it's the B minor or the F, and then you go to the G chord, and it takes you home again, and just get, you know, a sense of this experiencing the function of the chords.
So I'll work with you, Verlaine, in terms of putting together a third call, and we'll get that announced.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for attending and for the questions and the suggestion for demonstrating. That'll be something that stays on my mind for future calls. It's difficult to teach a class when you can't see people and you can't hear the and tell what the comprehension of it is. So, thank you.
Thank you, Verlaine.